Haftarah for Kitabo 5777, The World Illuminated. I was sitting in my study, looking intently at a small glass vase. The vase contained only three flowers, a full-blown bell of Portugal rose, shell pink with a hint at every petal's base of a hotter, flamier hue, a large magenta and cream-colored carnation, and pale purple at the end of its broken stalk, the bold heraldic blossom of an iris. I was not looking now at an unusual flower arrangement. I was seeing what Adam had seen on the morning of his creation, the miracle, moment by moment, of naked existence. "Is it agreeable?" somebody asked. "Neither agreeable nor disagreeable," I answered. "It just is." A bunch of flowers shining with their own inner light, and all but quivering under the pressure of the significance with which they were charged, rose and iris and carnation, so intensely signified, was nothing more and nothing less than what they were, a transience that was yet eternal life, a perpetual perishing that was at the same time pure being, a bundle of minute, unique particulars in which, by some unspeakable and yet self-evident paradox, was to be seen the divine source of all existence. Aldous Huxley, The Doors of Perception. This is Isaiah 60, Synopsis. This is the sixth of seven haftarot of consolation. The restoration of Zion is heralded, and it, along with her nation Israel, will be illuminated with divine light. God's presence will be the source of this light, and the nation will be seen in its graceful beauty. Peace will fill the land, and it will be a world summit for trade and prosperity. Although there is a great deal in Kitabo's Haftarah about the nations of the world coming to celebrate Israel, it is a different subject that opens and closes the Haftarah and sets its tenor. Yeshayah speaks to us here of light. "Arise, shine, for your light has dawned. No longer shall you need the sun for light by day, nor the shining of the moon for radiance by night. For God shall be your light everlasting." Our eyes are sophisticated light sensors that receive the light that objects reflect. Our brains interpret that light as images and remarkably perceive accurate analogues of the material reality in which we live. All we ever see is light. Light is fundamentally a carrier of information for us. It is so central to our perception of the world that we use the concept of light and sight in the abstract to speak of our ability to think. We speak of being enlightened, illuminating a subject, shedding light on an issue, and bringing ideas to light. We use this rich analogy when we see, when we come to understand something clearly. As King Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, "I have seen that wisdom is superior to ignorance, as light is superior to darkness." Just as the quality of light which illuminates an object determines how we see it, the nature and quality of the light through which we think of something determines the way in which we perceive it. Lighting directors for camera and film know this best. Tara Denise and Dennis Size are not names that most people recognize as belonging to celebrities. But in the world of television and film, they are known to be masters of lighting and have won many awards for their work. They design the setup of lights that illuminate the stage or set. Their selection of lights determine how we see the subjects that are being filmed. I have to design everything as though I'm directing it. We have to direct the attention at exactly what the audience needs to see. If the shot is a close-up of somebody's face, and it's important to see the reaction in the eyes, you want to make sure that there are not shadows on the face, or anything that takes away from the story the eyes are telling. Dennis Size. Because the light in which we see things so greatly affects our perception, it is important to be aware of it. This is both for our literal visual sense and our abstracted cognitive vision. As responsible viewers, we must always consider in what manner an object or idea is being illuminated. In which light are we seeing things? Is it bright or dim? harsh or soft, cold or warm? What are its colors? And the most important question, is there enough light to properly see what we are looking at, or are there only partial elements being illuminated? As the Ramchal writes in the Mesilat Yesharim, there are two types of darkness. There is darkness that is blinding, and there is darkness that distorts vision, where one might see a pillar and mistake it for a man, and vice versa. Fortunately, light can be adjusted. As we mature, we can and should learn to become the lighting directors of our minds. We can determine the nature of the lighting with which we perceive reality, and can illuminate and brighten details that are dark and poorly lit. We can dim aspects that overpower a holistic vision and use softer light to calm the harsher aspects of our world. We have the ability to illuminate our thinking and perception so that we see the world in its best light. It is a skill that requires knowledge, care, and practice. There are some lights that we only acquire with time and age. Other lights are discovered with exploration and study. The more varied the lighting, the more we are able to positively spotlight our world. But there is an altogether different light presented in our Haftarah. It is neither seen with our eyes nor perceived with our minds alone, but experienced with our souls. It is the light of life in all things, the light which is the source of all other light. It is the very first light, the premier of God's creations. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Genesis 1:3. This light is the light of being. Other light carries information to us. The data is becoming, literally, information. It is somehow communicated in analog, be it visual sight or a cognitive idea. But the primal light of creation is not information that must be cognitively processed, but a medium of existential connection and contact. With it, being is simply experienced. When we see things in this primal light, we encounter the very essence of another entity, be it a person, place, or thing. We experience its unique life force. It is when we enter this light that we share a space with God, and we, in our limited humanity, come as close to experiencing existence as He does, not as something that we think about, but something that we know, something that emphatically is. Yeshayah, the prophet, calls this God's light. "For God shall be your light everlasting, a light to you forever, and your days of mourning shall be ended." It is in this light of being that the growing pains of becoming subside. It is in this light that we know that all is enough and perfect. Time stops in favor of perfection, and the world and all that is in it shines in its fullest presence. Through it, we see beyond every impediment, pain, loss, and sorrow. As Mark Helprin writes in Winter's Tale, "Nothing is predetermined. It is determined, or was determined, or will be determined. No matter, it all happened at once, in less than an instant. And time was invented because we cannot comprehend in one glance the enormous and detailed canvas that we have been given. So we track it in linear fashion, piece by piece. Time, however, can be easily overcome, not by chasing the light, but by standing back far enough to see it all at once. The universe is still and complete. Everything that ever was, is. Everything that ever will be, is. And so on, in all possible combinations. Though in perceiving it, we imagine that it is in motion and unfinished. It is quite finished and quite astonishingly beautiful." The experience of that light, and it can only be known through experience, is the most benevolent and glorious experience a soul can encounter. It is where true love exists. It brings us to tears as it fills us with joy and makes known to us, without question, that we and the world are alive. And in that space of self-knowledge, the deceptions of envy and disdain evaporate into the radiant light of truth. It is in this light that Yeshayah foresees that the nation's scorn for Israel will end and peace will reign supreme. In the effulgence of these precious experiences shines the light of God. Maimonides speaks of this light in his Moreh Nebuchim and likens our experience of it to flashes of lightning. For many of us, we may only catch a bright and awesome glimpse of it once in our lifetimes, but we never forget its unmistakable splendor. That light permeates existence and runs beneath its surface. It is seen by the righteous souls who are faithful enough to look at it, identify it, and honor it. But for some, the stirring truth of its presence is too frightening a sight to behold. Its power terrifies them, for everything that basks in it is whole and true. Yeshayah prophesies that a day will come when that awesome primal light will be the medium through which we know the world and all that is in it. Our eyes will shine with the light of our souls, and as we walk in the light with the Holy One, we will see the soul of the world in everything around us. Shabbat Shalom.